He is constantly on the verge of succumbing to the temptation to sit down with the Ayatollahs, just as he wanted to sit down with Kim Jong-un.
One man's inside view of the Trump administration shared with VOA. It's Monday, June 29th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're glad to have you with us. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the European Union seeks to halt Chinese and others from buying its companies, news media changes in Afghanistan, and a new Mars Explorer. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton has unleashed a scathing critique of President Donald Trump as an erratic leader. You may have also heard that he's publishing a book. We wanted to hear some more details about his perspective, including his perception that Trump was willing to undercut American security to improve his reelection prospects. That came during an interview with Voice of America. VOA's Brian Patton reports on Bolton's sweeping allegations of presidential misconduct, as well as White House responses slamming Bolton as a liar and a traitorous divulger of classified information.
During a Voice of America interview with Greta Van Susteren, John Bolton called President Trump dangerous and erratic and said the president is too willing to make detrimental concessions to American adversaries in order to boost his political standing.
He is constantly on the verge of succumbing to the temptation to sit down with the Ayatollahs, just as he wanted to sit down with Kim Jong-un.
Bolton, who served as Trump's national security advisor for 18 months, is seen by many in the foreign policy community as too extreme in his uncompromising advocacy for economic and military pressure to counter national security threats.
John Bolton's been largely wrong throughout his career in that we don't usually see even extremist regimes that are really forced into a corner completely capitulate.
Bolton left the White House in September after opposing the president's decisions to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to reach a peace deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and after Trump called off a military strike against Iran in retaliation for the downing of an American surveillance drone. Bolton later endorsed Trump's order in January to launch a drone strike that killed a top Iranian general after attacks by Iranian-backed groups in Iraq killed a U.S. contractor. In his new controversial memoir, The Room Where It Happened, Bolton accuses the president of compromising national security for his political benefit. He said Trump explicitly asked Chinese President Xi Jinping to buy U.S. agricultural products to help him win re-election. The president, he said, condoned Xi's plans to build prison camps for more than 1 million Muslim Uyghurs. Regarding the charges at the heart of President Trump's impeachment trial earlier this year, Bolton told VOA the president did improperly withhold military aid to Ukraine to press for damaging information on his Democratic political rivals.
The focus on the Ukraine had everything to do with damaging Trump's political opponents, both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. It had nothing to do with the issue of corruption.
Bolton defended his refusal to testify during the impeachment, saying the trial became a highly partisan dispute. In the end, the Republican-led Senate cleared Trump of the charges. President Trump has called Bolton's book a compilation of lies and made-up stories, while at the same time accusing the former national security advisor of disclosing classified information. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, in a statement, denounced Bolton as a traitor for allegedly violating his sacred trust with the American people. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
As you can imagine, there is much more on this story on our website at voanews.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia, and we're on Facebook and Instagram at VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit our website, voanews.com. Thousands in western Myanmar flee as army plans operations, according to monitors. Bomb kills Afghan rights activists in Kabul. How Indonesia is setting limits for China's maritime expansion in Asia. Anti-racism protests spark conversations within Chinese immigrant families. India faces backlash over skin-lightening beauty products. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The European Union is moving to stop the purchase of strategic European companies by foreign subsidized corporations, especially from China. The European Commission has taken a first step by adopting a white paper on distortions that foreign subsidized companies are causing in Europe. We hear more in this report by Alfonso Beato in Barcelona, narrated by Jonathan Speer.
European leaders worry that financially distressed European companies could be snapped up at bargain prices by Chinese investors seeking to exploit the economic fallout caused by the coronavirus. The EU wants the power to impose conditions on outside subsidized investors or block deals altogether.
The single market is the key to European prosperity. But it only works if there is a level playing field. And for the Commission, it is a priority to protect that level playing field against the harm that foreign subsidies can do.
Chinese companies already have a major presence in Europe, having invested more than $180 billion in the last 20 years. The International Organization of Motor Vehicle Manufacturers ranks China the world's largest car manufacturer, surpassing the production of the EU, the US, and Japan combined. Chinese automakers are looking to invest more in Europe.
They are not only interested in the manufacturing of the complete automobile vehicles, they are also interested in accessing or seeking for a strategic asset.
Those assets include companies like Spain's Urbaser, which was bought by Firion Investments, a corporation controlled by a Chinese group that has public contracts in waste management. The EU is looking at ways to address the effects of foreign subsidies.
This is going to put the brakes on Chinese investments, since most Chinese companies that invest outside of China either have Chinese government participation or are wholly state-owned corporations.
The EU's main task at this moment is to come up with the right tools to prevent foreign subsidized corporations from having unfair advantages in the European market and preventing distortions in the wake of the pandemic. For Alfonso Beato in Barcelona, I'm John Speer, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, U.S. President Donald Trump said Sunday he had never been told about reports that a Russian military intelligence unit was secretly offering bounties to Taliban militants in Afghanistan to kill U.S. soldiers. Trump scoffed at a New York Times report that he had been briefed about it in late March. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's so good to start out a new week with you on VOA Asia. An outcry following a new draft amendment of Afghanistan's media laws has led the presidential palace to announce it will recall the draft until proposals are discussed further with the news media. Saron Rahim Gul reports.
Freedom of press in Afghanistan is a major achievement for Afghanistan and is considered unique in the region. Kabul drafted and endorsed its media laws almost 10 years ago. But a new draft of those media laws are coming under fire. Critics say they abolish the rights of new outlets to protect the identity of their sources and expands items banned from broadcast. It also shifts the authority to annual media license from courts to supervisory bodies. Journalists told VOA Afghan Service earlier this month they were worried the revised law will greatly limit media freedom. Those who oppose the draft law say it goes against four articles of Afghanistan's constitution. The Afghan Journalists Safety Committee are demanding that the proposed amendments be annulled.
In a highly sensitive time when we are getting into talks with Taliban, this media regulatory bill, which proposes limitations on press freedom, must stop. Otherwise, we will lose one of the major achievements of Afghanistan: freedom of press and freedom of speech.
Some journalists say the media bill will challenge the unique freedom journalists enjoy in the region.
The draft bill should not be sent to parliament. News outlets and media rights organizations were not consulted on the draft bill. The question is why this bill was proposed in this critical situation. Afghan journalists are opposed to all limitations proposed in this draft law.
Absolutely, we support amendments in the law, but the issues highlighted here are very general. If we have suggestions and demands, they should be made in light of the current and upcoming situation in Afghanistan.
The media rights group NICE says the proposed draft law is in its early stages and that Afghan media have been and will continue to be involved in developing the amendments. The presidential spokesperson Sadiq Siddiqui says the president has seen a letter from journalists about their concerns and instructed staff to open a conversation with the media. The spokesperson said that the government is strongly committed to our free media and will remain so. In a cabinet meeting, President Ghani said the government is committed to supporting freedom of speech and enhancing media activities. The president added, "Fortunately, we have no one in custody on charges of violating freedom of speech." For Rahim Gulsarwan in Kabul, Afghanistan, Shaista Sadatlami, VOA News.
Scientists at NASA are planning another launch to Mars later this summer. The U.S. Space Agency says it will send to the surface a rover they described as a robot scientist. Part of that mission will also be NASA's first attempt at flight on the Red Planet. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us up to date on the latest in space news.
A test helicopter inside NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab at the California Institute of Technology shows it can fly in an environment built to mimic conditions on Mars. Hovard Grip is chief pilot for the Ingenuity Mars helicopter and one of the architects of the algorithms that give it autonomous flight.
Once we've proven that it's possible to fly a helicopter in this environment, that sets the stage for future missions where we can use helicopters in useful capacities, for example, for reconnaissance or for doing independent science.
Initial tests were shaky at best, with testers flying Ingenuity by remote control in a vacuum with carbon dioxide.
It was a success in one sense in that it showed, yeah, it is possible to get off the ground with the helicopter, despite the thin atmosphere. But at the same time, it also showed us that we have to really focus intently on the control aspect of the helicopter, making sure that it's possible to handle a helicopter in this environment.
Scheduled for launch between July and August, Ingenuity joins a mission with Perseverance, the next generation rover to roam the Red Planet. NASA designed a $23 million toilet scheduled for September delivery to the International Space Station. It's a smaller design and should be more accommodating to female astronauts as well as future deep space missions. The space agency also announced a $20,000 Lunar Lou toilet building challenge running until August 17th. NASA seeks a toilet tailored to the moon's gravity, which differs from the microgravity in space. Finally, a partial solar eclipse called a ring of fire was visible from Hong Kong this week, with the moon covering close to 90% of the sun's diameter. Outside the Hong Kong Space Museum, stargazers with mostly makeshift eye protection turned up for the show.
I think it's incredible. I've never seen an eclipse in person like this before. I've only seen it live stream. But to see it in person, and some people lent me like glasses so I could look directly at the sun, was really, really nice.
There has not been a ring of fire eclipse for at least a century, with the next one not until 2039, and the next after that in the year 2392. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We encourage you to stop by and take a look. You can also find us on Twitter at VOA Asia and on Instagram and YouTube, also at VOA Asia. And our full-length programs can be found anytime you like at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us today. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboom. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.